Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev in Daf Pei Gimel. We're going to begin on the very last line of Pei Beis Omid Beis. We're learning today Le'ila Nishmas, J. Rabinowitz's father, Abe Rabinowitz, Avraham Mordechai ben Tzvi HaKohen. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah. So we quote the Mishnah, the very last line of Pei Beis Omid Beis, where we said, Chetzio Leveis HaMenuga, V'chatzi Chetzio Lifsol Es HaGviya. So if you remember from yesterday's shir, we had a number of different opinions as to what is the shear for the mazon shtei seudos. And after that, the Mishnah had said that whatever you consider to be the kikar, the size of the two meals, so a pras, that was the size of half of a loaf, and this pras, that was, we said, was chetzio, that's lebeis hamenuga. That was the amount that if a person stayed and tarried inside the house that had tsaras, had a nega tsaras, so then any clothing that he was wearing became tame if he stayed there for that amount. That's called the shear of kidei achilas pras. And then we had chetzio of that, so chatzi chetzio, that's a half of the kikar, that would be livsola sekvia, how much if a person ate that, he's not allowed to go and eat truma. That's what we have in the Mishnah. And now the Braisa tells us, Tana, as we turn to the Omid Aleph, Pegimel Omid Aleph, there's another half of a shear, v'chatzi, chatzi, chetzia. So we started off with the kikar, went to the pras, we went to a half of a pras, and now we go to a quarter of a pras. So this is chatzi, chatzi, chetzia. A half, a half, a half. An eighth of the original kikar. That is a shear, letame, tumas ochlin. That is how much is necessary in order to be able to transmit tumah to another item. Food can only transmit tumah if it reaches a certain size. To be makabel tumah, so that most poskim, this is a famous machlokus Rashi and Tosos throughout Shas, but most poskim say any food of any size can be makabel tumah, but to transmit tumah, you need a certain shear. That shear throughout Shas is a kibetza, and that is the chatzi, chatzi, chetzia, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. How did we get that? So we had yesterday the shittas of Rav Yochanan ben Broka, who said that the final opinion that we had for him was that the shear of a kikar was a quarter of a kav. Now, a quarter of a kav is going to be six beitza, right? A kav is equal to 24 beitza. If you go to my mnemonic from yesterday, the Osak Lev Gudu that I put out on the handout. So an eifa has three saw. A saw has six kav. A kav has four lug, or it's known as a rova kav or a reva kav. And then a lug is six beitza. So one kav, by this calculation, is going to be four lug and six beitza. So therefore, a kav, which is four lug, and each lug has six beitza. So one kav is going to be 24 beitza. A quarter of that, a quarter of a kav, is going to be six beitza. So that was the sheet of a Yochanan Broka, that the share of a kikar is going to be six beitza. So a pras is going to be three beitza. A chatzi chetzia, half of a pras, is going to be 1.5 beitza. And the chatzi chatzi chetzia is going to be 3/4. 1/8 of six is going to be 3/4. That's according to Yochanan Broka. The more commonly accepted shita, however, for this transmission of tumah is going to be Rav Shimon. According to Rav Shimon, we ultimately said that Rav Shimon holds that a kikar is equal to a third of a kav. So a third of a kav, again, if a kav has 24 beitza, so a third of a kav is going to be 8 beitza. So if we start off with the kikar being 8, so the pras is going to be 4, the chatzi pras is going to be 2, and the chatzi chatzi chetzia is going to be 1. That is the shear. Letame tumas ochlin is 1 beitza. And that's the shear that we go throughout Shas. So in this brisa, they added on an additional shear that we didn't have in the Mishnah. And we were asked, how come? Vitana didon, in the Mishnah, why did the Mishnah stop only by telling us the pras and the chatzi pras shear, the chetzi and the chetzi chetzia? Why didn't the Mishnah also give us the chetzi chetzi chetzia, the 1/8 shear? Why not? Vitana didon, my time alotani tumas ochlin. He leaves that out. He only mentions the shear for a menuga and the shear letame the guf. Why doesn't he mention the shear letame tumas ochlin? So the Gemara answers, Mishum de lo shavu shiurayu ladode. He says, because all these shiurim aren't exactly going to be 1/2 of the other, as opposed to the Tana of the Braisa, who says that they are exactly half. Why is that? The Tanya, because another Braisa taught us, Kama Shir Chatzi Pras. This Braisa says, three opinions, that the Shir of a Chatzi Pras is going to be Beis Beitzim Chotzer Kimmel. Now this goes according to Rav Shimon, who we said that the Chatzi Pras was Beis Beitzim. But here in the Braisa, it tells us it's Beis Beitzim Chotzer Kimmel. It's slightly smaller than two Beitzim. Rashi explains, we're talking about the Beitzim Ketanim Shiorua, that we measure here with smaller size eggs, and this goes, Aliba the Rav Shimon, and this is only in accord with Rav Shimon's Shita, the Amar B'Masnissin Beis Beitzim. He said that the Chatzi Pras is going to be two Beitzim, and therefore, in this situation, the opinion of the Tanakhama, which is Divri Rebbe Yehuda, is that it's a little bit smaller than two eggs. So it's slightly less than two average-sized eggs. That's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yossi disagrees. Rebbe Yossi Omer, that this Chatzi Pras is Beis Beitzim Sochakos. This means that they're larger eggs, and that you need a slightly larger shear in order to go and bring about this tumor of the body. And Rebbe, Shia Rebbe, that it's Beitz, Beitzim, Va'od, that it's two eggs, two regular sized eggs, and a little bit more. What's this little bit more? Kama Va'od. It's Echad Me Esrim Bebeitza. It's 1/20th of an egg. Since there's two eggs over here, it's going to be 1/20th of two eggs, which is the equivalent of 2.1 eggs. 1/10th of an egg is 0.1, and you have 1/20th of two eggs, so that's going to be 0.1. So therefore, the shear according to Rebbe is 2.1. So we have these three shearim over here. We have Rebbe Yehuda's shear that says a little bit less than two normal-sized eggs. Rebbe Yossi says a little bit more than two normal-sized eggs. And the opinion of Rebbe that says it's 2.1 normal-sized eggs. Now, v'ilu gabe tumas ochlin, in regards to the tumah of ochlin, which is the chatzi chetzya, that's the 1/8 of the original amount. So Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Dos Amru, they say that this shear is kebeitza shamru kamoa uch kliposa, that this shear of one egg is the size of one normal egg, including its shell, as opposed to the chachamim amrim kamoa below kliposa. It means the amount of that egg, a normal-sized egg, without its peel. So the bottom line is that none of these are exactly half of the two-egg shita of the Latame Tumas Guf. And therefore, that's why the Tana of our Mishnah didn't include it, because he wanted them all to be exact measures, and therefore he only listed the Pras and the Chatzi Pras, but he didn't list the Chatzi Chatzi Chetzia. Okay. Amar Avraham Bar Papa, Rav Avraham Bar Papa tells us, Amar Chisda, in the name of Chisda, Zu Divrei Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. This goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. In other words, when Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, and the post can say also Rabbi, when they said it's two eggs, and again, Rabbi Yehuda said it's slightly smaller than two regular-sized eggs, Rabbi Yossi said it's slightly larger than two regular-sized eggs, and Rebbe said it's 2.1 of regular-sized eggs. So all of these opinions are all within the shita of Rabbi Shimon, who we said he holds that the kikar is equal to 1/3 of a kav, which is 8 beitzim. So therefore, the half of a half is going to be 2 beitzim. That's 1/4 of 8. A half of a half is going to be 2 beitzim. And they just have the three different opinions as to how much that is. And Aval Chachamim Omrim Kebeitza Umechza Sochakos. But now we introduce another opinion, that opinion of the Chachamim that said it's only 1.5 eggs. This Chatzi, the half of a pras, is only 1.5 eggs. Who does this go like? Uman Chachamim. This is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. This is the opinion of Yochanan Broka, who said that the kikar is equal to 1/4 of a kav. 1/4 of a kav, we said, is 6 beitzim. So a half would be 3 beitzim, and 1/4 would be 1.5 beitzim. That sheet of the Chacham goes according to Yochanan Broka. So Gemara says, what's Rafim telling us? That's simple math. We understand that when you're dealing with 8 beitzim, so a half of a half, 1/4 of 8 is 2. And when you're dealing with 6 beitzim, a half of a half, 1/4 of 6 is going to be 1.5, 1.5. Pshita, what is Rafim telling us that we can't figure out on our own? So the Gemara answers, Sochakos osa lashminim. The Chiddush is over here that this is 1.5 of larger eggs, not the 1.5 of the regular-sized eggs. As the Chacham said, Chachamim kebeitzo mechza sochakos. So this shita of sochakos is going according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, and the Chiddush of Rav is that Rav Yochanan ben Broka's shita is 1.5 slightly larger eggs. Now, Kiosa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he told us that Shiger Bunyas, Bunyas is the name of a Talmud Chacham, Rashi says. So this Talmud Chacham Bunyas, Shema Ish, he sent Lerebi to review that Nasi, a moja de kundis, that's a measure known as a kundis. A kundis is a saw, the min neusa, from a place called neusa, and Rebbe actually measured it. Vishia Rebbe, Rebbe figured out that this saw was actually Mosan 200, Ushvayas Rebein, 217 eggs. That is the shear of the saw that was in neusa. Now, how did he get to this number? Ha saw dehecha. What saw is this that comes out to be 217? That doesn't fit into our calculations. Now here we have to stop and give a little bit of background information. Again, in the mnemonic that I told you, Osak Lev Gudu, which you put in between the letters Aleph and Samach, of Osak, you put in the Gimel, the Vav, and the Dalet, and the Vav, as you can see from the sheet that I handed out yesterday, that tells you the relationship between Eifa and Saw, that's the Aleph and the Samach, between the Samach and the Kuf, which is the Kav, that's going to be a Vav, between the Kav and the Lug, it's going to be Dalet, and between the Lug and the Beit, it's going to be Vav. That's the relationship, which I spelled out, that one Eifa equals three Saw, and one Saw equals six Kav, one Kav equals four Lug, and one Lug equals six Beit, so just to remind everybody again. So, if you're dealing with a Saw, how many Beit are in a Saw? So you're going to have six Kav. Each kav has four lug, and each lug has six beitzim. So it's just a simple mathematical calculation. You multiply 6 times 4, which is 24, times 6, which is 144, and that tells you that there are 144 beitzim in a saw. Now, Rebbe just said there's 217, so what happened? So we have to know that through history, the measures, the sizes of the measures changed. The relationships, how many saw are in an Eifa didn't change. How many Kav in a Saw didn't change. How many Lug in a Kav. How many Beitzim in a Lug, that didn't change. But the actual size of these changed. So therefore, when you have, over time, there was a change in the Shiurim. The Shiur in the Midbar ultimately was changed when they up the numbers to the Yerushalmi measures. So the Midbar measures were the ones that we have in the Chumash, and they ultimately were changed. The size of everything went up a fifth from the inside, which is a sixth from the outside. And then subsequently again, when they measured it again in Sipori, years later, they changed it and they upped it again by a fifth from the inside, which is a sixth from the outside. So we have these three different periods of time, the Midbar period, the Yerushalmi period, and the Tzipori period of time when the measures all changed. So therefore, in comparison to the previous measures, the relationships, the ratios didn't change, but the egg at the time of the Midbar was subsequently increased in size during the time of Yerushalmi measurements and increased in size in the time of the Tzipori measurements. So, when Rebbe says over here it's 217 eggs in a saw, which measures is he talking about? Ha saw dehecha. What exactly are we talking about? So Gemara says, Eid the Midbar, if you're talking about the original size of the eggs, so it's only Kuf Mem Dalet, Havya. As I said, a saw is six kav, and then there are in each kav, four lug, so that's going to be 24. And then in each lug, you have six beitzim, and it's going to be 6 times 24, which is 144, which is exactly what we just said. The Midbar is, there are kuf mem dalet, 144 eggs in a saw. Rebbe said there were 217, so it can't be talking about the Midbar is. Okay, Yerushalmis. The Yerushalmis, it went up by a fifth on the inside, which is a sixth on the outside. So a fifth of 144 is equal to 28.8. Now, if you add 28.8 to 144, you get 172.8, which the Gemara rounds off. We're not interested always in these fractions, so the Gemara rounds that off to be 173. 172.8 becomes 173. So therefore, if you're telling me it's the Yerushalmis measure, so that would be the Yerushalmis, it would be Kuf Ayin Gimel Havya. It would be 173 of the original eggs, not 217. Okay, let's go again. V'ditziporis, if you're telling me it's a tziporis, so technically, if we take the 172.8 and you increase that by a fifth, you technically get 207.36. The Gemara essentially ignores the little bit extra, and that's where they get the number of 207. So 207 of the original eggs, the Midbarius eggs, equals one saw now in the Tziporis saw. But that's only 207. So again, whether you're dealing with the Midbarius, which will only be 144, you're dealing with Yerushalmis, which is roughly 173, really 172.8, or you're dealing with the Tziporis, which is really 207.36, which we round off to 207, none of these measures are 217. So why did Rebbe say, why did Rebbe measure that it was 217? What type of a saw was that? So where it says the Olam de Tziporis. In fact, it is the Tziporis one, which is the 207. However, this 207 didn't include the challah. I say chalsa shidei alayu. You have to go and take challah. Now, challah is 1/24th. And that would be roughly 8. 1/24th of 207 is 8 and a fraction. So therefore, if you add on this 8 to get 207 plus 8, you get 215. So Gemara says, chalsa kama havyun. It's 8. Again, it's a little bit more than 8. It's actually 8.6. But again, we're rounding off over here. And if you take the number 8, so, and you forget even the fraction, or even if you add on the fraction, it doesn't make 217. So they're roughly assuming it's 8. They're ignoring the fraction part. 8 and 207 is 215. Akati, botzule, you're still less than 217. Now, Rebbe measured it. So it was 217. It's not a calculation. So where did they get the 217 from? So Gemara says, Elo, you're right. I say the odos de Rebbe, Shadi Alayu. Rebbe added on a little bit of extra to make the 217. Now, what's this little bit of extra? That's the 1/20th that Rebbe said the eggs have changed. So instead of being 2, it's 2.1 we had earlier in the Shia. So now, if you add on an extra amount, 1/20th of an egg, so now you have 207 eggs plus 0.05 times that, 1/20th times that, and that is 10.35. We ignore the 0.35, and therefore you get 217 because you're adding on, according to Rebbe, the eggs are 2.1 for two eggs, not two. So therefore you have to add on this extra 1/20th per egg, and if you have 207 eggs and you add on an extra 1/20th for each egg, so you're multiplying 207 times 1/20th, and you add that then that number 10 onto the 207, that's where you get the 217. So Gemara says, Ihachi, heavy leitvei. It's slightly more. As I said, it's technically going to be 10.35 that you're adding on. So Gemara says, no. Kivan de lo heavy kebetza, lo chashivle. Again, we're rounding off. It's not an exact measure. We're rounding it off. And therefore, the 207 and adding on 1/20th to that is close enough to 217. It's a little bit more than 217, but we ignore that little bit extra. We continue the math shir, Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa says, saw Yerushalmis, Yisera Amidboris Shtus, that we said that when the Yerushalmis was increased in size over the Midbarius, it was a shtus, a sixth. Now that's a sixth on the outside, which is a fifth on the inside. So again, you take 144 and you increase that by a fifth. So you take 144 and you multiply it by 1.2, and that's going to be 172.8, as we said, which is roughly 173. Now, if you take 173 and you divide it by 6, that's 28.8, which is roughly 29. And if you subtract 29 from 173, you get back to our 144. So therefore, that is the number, a fifth from the inside, a sixth from the outside. Likewise, Vishal Tziporis, Yisera Yushamis, when they increased the sizes from the Yushami measure to the Tziporis measure, it also was a sixth, which means a fifth from the inside. A fifth of 173 is 34.6. If you add 34.6 to 173, you get 207.6. Again, we negate, we ignore the fractions, so that's where they get the 207. So that, if you take 207, and you take a sixth of that, that's 34.6. And if you subtract the 207, the 34.6, that's where you get the 173. So again, it's a fifth from the inside, a fifth of 173, or a sixth of 207. So that's where we get these numbers. Shel Tziporis Yisera Yishamas Shusus. So Nimsa Shel Tziporis Yisera Al Midbaris. So if you go and look from the largest measure, the Tziporis one, Yisera al Midbaris is greater than the smallest measure, Shlish, by a third. And the Gemara says, wait a second, shlish diman, a third of what? What are you talking about that the last measure, the midbaris, is a third more than the first measure, the midbaris? How did you get that? Ilema shlish dimidbaris, if it telling means a third of the midbaris, so a third of 144 is how much? It's 48. So michte, shlish dimidbaris, kamahavia, arboin, vitamaya, tamnaya, it's 48. The ilu, otfa, shisinutlas. But the difference between the tziporis over the midbaris is actually 63. From 144 to 207 is actually 63. So that can't be it. So the Gemara says, Elo shlish di Yerushalmis. Oh, we'll take a third of the 173 Yerushalmis. So shlish di da kamahavi. How much is a third of 173? Chamshin utmaya nochitilsa. It's going to be 57 and two-thirds, roughly. So that's roughly 58 eggs. 58 minus a third. Now, again, that's not 63. The difference should be 63. The difference between a tzipori and a midbara should be 63 eggs. 144 to 207 is 63. So when we say it's a third, it's not a third of the midbaris. It's not a third of the Yerushalmis. So what's it a third of? Let's say Ella the tzipori. It's a third of the tzipori. Now the tzipori is 207. Shlish dido kamahavi. How much is a third of 207? It's shivin, 70, nechichada, minus 1, which is 69. So a third of 207 is 69. But that's also not 63. So shlish dido kamahavi, shivin, nechichada. It's 69, 70 minus 1. V'ilu, otfa, samachimu. But it's only 63 more. 207 is only 63 more than 144, not 69. So again, what did we mean when we said that Nimtzis Shotzi Poris is Yisera Al Midbaris Shlish? Where did they get that number from? So Gemara says, El Omer of Yirmiya, here it is. Here's the answer. Hachi Kama. This is what that price means when it says that the Tziporis is Yisera Al Midbaris Shlish. Nimtzis, he says, Sa'ar Shel Tzipori, the Saw of Tzipori, is Yisera Al Midbaris Karov lishlish shela. It's close to it. 69 is close to 63. He then additionally adds on ushlish shela. This number of 69 is also karov, is near lemechso de midbaris, is almost half of the midbaris. Again, the midbaris was 144, so half of that is going to be 72, and that's close to 69. Not sure what we gain by knowing that, why he put that in here. But that's what Rav Yirmiya says, that this one-third that we're referring to is that 69 is close to 63. Gemara says, Maskif lo Ravina. Ravina says, Mide Karov Karov Tani. Rav Yirmiya is telling us that 69 is close to 63, Karov. And that, by the way, 69 is also close to 72, Karov. We didn't say anything about Karov. Why would the Brisa be telling us this, that it's near it, it's near it? How does that help us? Why is it telling us this? So therefore, Ravina says, Elam Ravina, Rav Yirmiya's answer is not the right answer. Hachi Kama, this is the right answer. Nimtzis, shlish shel tzipori, a third of the tzipori, again, the tzipori was 207, but when you add on the odios shel Rebbe, when you add on the extra 120th, so it goes from 207 to 217 approximately, that's Yesera al mechso shel midbaris. That is going to be more than the half of the midbaris. Again, the midbaris was 72, and here we're saying that the third of 217, which is technically 72.3, that is very close. Rebbe, according to Rebbe, it's 217. A third of 217 is 72.3. Is Yesera al mechso shel midbaris is a little bit more than a half of midbaris. A half of midbaris is a half of 144, which is 72. Shlish beitz, a third. 72.3 is a third more than 72. That is what Ravina says this brisa means when it tells us nimsa shel tziporis, the tziporis of Rebbe, which is 217, a third of that is 72.333, is going to be Yesera al midbaris shlish, is going to be more than a half of a midbaris by one-third of an egg. 72.3 is one-third of an egg more than 72. That is what Ravina says the brisa means. Again, an extremely complicated mathematical sugya. Now we go weiter, a little bit more math, and then we'll be done. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanu, we learn in the Braisa, Reishis Ariso Sechem. This pasuk discusses the chiyuv to take off challah, the 1/24th that a private person takes off from his challah and gives from his dough and gives as challah this matnas kahuna to the kohen. So you need a dough that is a certain size. We turn to the Amud Beis. Kidei iso seichem. When you have a certain size dough, so then you're obligated to take off challah. How much is this dough? The kama iso seichem. How much is a dough that has a chiyuv of challah on it? Kidei isas hamidbar. It's equal to the doughs that they had in the midbar. Now, how much dough did they have in the midbar? So each person got a certain portion of mun each day, and that is considered the amount that is significant, that if you bake a bread of that size, you have to give challah to the kohen. No, but kama isas hamidbar. How much was the isa of the midbar? So it says, the pasuk tells us, v'ha omer, the amount of omer that you got, the amount of mun that you got each day, asiriso eifa, was 1/10 of an eifa. Now, we've already learned that an eifa is 3 saw. So in every eifa, you have 3 saw. So 1/10 of an eifa is going to be 1/10 of 3 saw. In other words, it's going to be 3/10 of a saw. You take the 3 saw, and 1/10 of that, you divide it by 10. That becomes 3/10 of a saw. Now, 3/10 of a saw, with a saw having 144 beitza, that's the relationship that we've mentioned many times, so 3/10 of 144 is 43.2. That is the amount of a dough, 43.2 eggs, that if you have a dough of that size, you're obligated to take off challah from that dough. You could have gotten this number by just going straight to the eifa. An eifa, which is 3 times 144, is 432. And 1/10 of that is 43.2. We got it through the definition of a saw. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Mikan Amru, the rabbis learn from here, Zayin Revoyim Kemach, V'od Chayevis Bechala. If you have 7 Revoyim, a Revoyim is a quarter of a Kav. So a quarter of a Kav, we said many times, is 6 Beitzim. So if you have Zayin Revoim, is 7 times 6 Beitzim. V'od, so 7 times 6 is 42. And a little bit more, V'od, that's the 1.2 more, is going to be the Shia for Challah. So Zayin Revoim Kemach, V'od, Chayevis B'Challah. Now, Shehein, Vav, Shel Yerushalmis, Shehein, Hei, Shel Tzipori. And this 43.2 of the Midbar eggs, which we says was 7.2 of the Rova Kavs. Now, if it went down 1/5, so then 7.2, taking a 6 from the outside, so if you divide 7.2, and you take a 6 to that, that's going to be 1.2. So the 7.2 of the Midbar is equal to 6 of the Yerushalmis. And if you take the 6 of Yerushalmis, and you take a 6 to that off to get to the Tzipori levels, that's going to be 5. Ah! This is what it says. The 7 Revoim Kemach V'od Chayevitz Mechala is the equivalent of the Midbarios, which is 7.2 of the Rov HaKav, is equal to 7 of the Yerushalmis Rov HaKav, which is equal to 5, hey, of the Tziporis Rov HaKav. Because of the increase in the size, that's how we get these numbers. And therefore, the Gemara says, Mikan Amru, this is the amount that a person should eat each day. This, we got the perfect amount in the Midbar. So this amount that a person should eat each day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the exact perfect amount, not more, not less. So if somebody eats this amount of bread each day, that is considered a very good thing. Bari umavorach. Such a person is blessed, and he will be healthy. If you eat more than that, Yasser al-Kain, then you're considered a ravosan. You're considered a gluttonous person. If you eat less than that, the person is going to ruin his insides. He's not getting enough food, and he's going to end up not being good. That concludes this very difficult mathematical discussion, and now we, Mitzvah Hashem, get back to Erevin. The Mishnah begins. Anshei Chotz of Yanshei Marpeses. We now have 2 layered garden apartments. You have the ground floor, and you have the second floor up, which is known as the Mirpeses. The Mirpeses means that there are apartments there with some sort of a porch area outside their apartments. You can see a picture of this in the art scroll next to footnote number 8. You can see lots of pictures of this in the Illustrated Gemara beginning on page 92 with diagram number 274. And you can see lots of pictures of this as well in the Pirush Chai. And you can see this on page 170 looking at diagram number 29 and continuing further. By the way, for those that are interested in going through some additional calculations on the Gemara that we had, the Pirush Chai has very detailed calculations about this as well on the preceding pages before 170. In any event, let's leave that math for now and get on to our discussion here. We have the Chotzer and the Mepesis, two groups of people. They're each making a separate Erev for themselves, and they're allowed to do this because it's considered to have a Pesach in between them that doesn't ruin it one turn the other, even though we have the upper people, they have to get out through the lower courtyard. But we had previously the opinion of the Chachamim that Regel Hamuteres, if in their place they have an Erev Chatzeres they're allowed to carry, they don't ruin it into the other place where they have Drisus HaRegel, even though they didn't go and make an Erev Chatzeres all one together, which they would be allowed to do if they wish to. But here we're talking about where they did not make an Erev Chatzeres together, but each one, the Chotzer people and the Marpesis people, each made their own Erev Chatzeres. And that's what the Mishnah tells us. The Anshi Chotzer have their own Erev, the Anshi Marpesis have their own Erev, but Sheshachu v'lo Erev, but they didn't make an Erev together. So in this situation, you can't carry from the Chotzer to the Marpesis, you can't carry from the Marpesis to the Chotzer. Now, how do we define different areas within this courtyard? Whose usage do they have? So the Mishnah tells us, Kol shegavoa yud tfachim, anything in this courtyard that is more than 10 tfachim tall is belonging to the Marpesis. They're allowed to use this. And you can see diagrams of this, as I mentioned, in the Illustrated Gemara continuing on page 92 with additional diagrams, and in the Pirush Chai with additional diagrams, both in the diagram number 29, the different parts to it, and continuing further. So if you have areas within the courtyard that are greater than 10 tefachim tall, so they don't belong to the courtyard. They actually have the rights to be used by the Marpesis people. Pachas Bikan, but if it's smaller than 10 tefachim, they belong to the courtyard people. The Gemara will go through this in a little bit more detail. And this is something we learned previously, that an area which has easier usage for one versus the other, that's the area that we give it to. Now, we have a similar idea with Chulyas Habor V'Yasela. If you have a hole in the ground, and you have the area that's heaped up around it, that's called Chulyas Habor. Or if you have a rock, a sela, that goes up. So they go volume, they go up, Asar Tfachim L'Marpesis. Again, you can see this clearly in the Pirush Chai diagram on page 170, diagram number 29, which is by the bays, where it says, the Chulyas Habor Shemufleges Me'Marpesis. It shows that it's farther away from the Marpesis a certain distance. So the question that we'll discuss is, where are these located in a moment? But right now we just need to look at that diagram just to give you an idea of what we're talking about. And you can again see this in the Illustrated Gemara on page 93, where you have diagram 279 to see what this Chulyas Habor is talking about. Now, the Chulyas Habor, or the Sela, if they're Gevoim, Asara Tfachim, they belong to the Marpesis, because it's easier usage by the Marpesis. We'll see it has to be near to the Marpesis as we get to the Gemara. Pachas Bikan, but if it's smaller than 10 Tfachim, then it belongs to the ground, to the Chotzer. Again, similar to the first case that we had in the Mishnah. But now we put in the qualifications. Bamedvam Amurim, under what circumstances is it true that we say if it's more than 10 Tfachim, it belongs to the Marpesis, if it's lower than 10 Tfachim, it belongs to the Chotzer? It depends how close it is to the Marpesis. It only is talking about that it goes to the Marpesis if it's more than 10 Tfachim of the ground, Bismucha, if it's close to the Marpesis, which we'll see means it's within 4 Tfachim of the Marpesis. Avo Bimufleges, if it's further away from the Marpesis, even afilu gavoa yud tfachim, even though it's higher than 10 tfachim, it will belong to the chotzer because the marpesis can't use it. And how do we define smucha? Deizohi smucha, as I just said, kol she'en rechoka arba tfachim. It has to be within 4 tfachim of the marpesis. And that's what you can see, the Pirush Chai, the letter beis in diagram number 29 shows a distance. So if that distance is within 4 tfachim, so the marpesis has easy access to the embankment of the chulyas habor, the top of the bor, the heaped up border of the bar. And that letter beis is more than 4 tefachim away, so the Marpesis can't use it easily, and therefore the rights to use the top of this Chulyas Habor belong to the Chotzer people. That is what the Mishnah tells us, and now the Gemara is going to give us various scenarios and explain the details of these scenarios with the understanding of our Mishnah. So the Gemara begins. Pshita, it's clear and obvious. Lezeh befesach, lezeh befesach. In a scenario where there are two courtyards and there is a wall in between them, and there's an opening in the wall. So then, haynu chalon shebeis beis chaseres. This is the equivalent of having this portal, this doorway, in between two different chaseros, a window in between the two chaseros, a pesach in between the chaseros, and therefore, if they wish to be together, they can. If they wish to be separate, they can. We learned that previously, and this is an underlying principle. Another underlying principle, lezebizrika, if a certain area that's able to be used by two courtyards that are adjacent to each other but didn't make a Erev Chatzeros together, they each have their own Erev Chatzeros. So who gets to use the area that they can throw something to? Throwing means normally if you're throwing something to an area that is above 10 tefachim above the ground. So this is a classical case. Hainu kosel shebein beis chatzeros. This would be the equivalent of having the wall in between the two chatzeros, which we discussed previously, that neither side is allowed to go and use that wall to carry from their courtyard onto the wall or from the wall onto the courtyard. They both share it, and since they don't have an erev chatzeros together, neither side can use it. They can use the wall itself on the top. They can go and sit on the top and use the wall, but they can't go and bring it from the wall to the courtyard or vice versa. Likewise, it's pashut. Lezeh b'shulshul, zeh b'shulshul. Shulshul is the opposite of zrika. Zrika is throwing it up to something above 10 tefachim. Shulshul is lowering it down to something in the ground. So if two sides have, let's say, a ditch in between them, and they each want to use the ditch in between them, so this is haynu charetz shebein beis chatzeres. This is the equivalent of having a charetz in between two courtyards. So it's a machitza, it's deeper than 10 tefachim, and either side can use the actual charetz from their courtyard into the charetz, from the charetz into their courtyard, similar to the wall. It's a shared area. Neither side has a better usage of it, an easier usage of it, so therefore they share it, and since they didn't make an Erev Chatzeros, each one ruins it for the other. Next case. Lezeb the Pesach, Lezeb Zrika. One courtyard is able to go reach something through a Pesach, through a door, and the other one can only reach it via Zrika. The other side has to go toss stuff onto it in order to go and get it. So this is what we learned previously. Hainu Dirabba Barav Huna Am Rav Chanan. This is what we learned previously on Dav Ayin Zayin. We said that if one side has easier usage than the other side, so going through a door is easier usage than throwing something, so the side that just goes through the door, they would have the rights, the priority to use this area, and therefore only they could use it and the other side could not use it. Similarly, lezeh b'pesach, lezeh b'shulshul. One side has the door to go through it, and the other one has to lower something to the ground, which is a much more difficult thing in terms of usage. So this is also something that we learned previously on Daf Ayin Zayin. Hainu d'Rav Shizbi, Amar Rav Nachman. This is what Rav Shizbi said in the name of Rav Nachman. Again, where it's noach for one side to use it, and it's kosher for the other side to use it, so then we give it to the side that is more nichale, the usage is easier, than the side that the usage is more kosher. Fine. What about, here it's not so clear, lezeh b'shulshul v'lezeh b'zrika. One side lowers it, and one side has to throw up to it. So let's say the two courtyards are uneven. So there's this area in between them that one side would have to use it by lowering and the other side would use it by tossing something on top of it. So who's considered the easier usage in this situation? So I'm a Rav. Rav says they both don't have easy usage. They both have a similar difficult usage, and therefore shnei masurin. The upper courtyard will ruin it for the lower courtyard. The lower courtyard will ruin its usage for the upper courtyard. Neither one can use it. It's like the wall in between them. They didn't make an erev chatzeros. Neither side can use it. But Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel says, "Ushmuel Amar nos noso lezeh shebishoshul." He said, "The one that has the lowering is easier to use than the one that's throwing it up, because lowering it to use something that's lower than you is easier to use than to toss something higher up, which is a more difficult usage." As Shmuel says, "Shelezeh tashmisho benachas." The one that's lowering it down has an easier usage, which is the critical principle. But lezeh tashmisho bekasha. The one that's throwing it up has the more difficult usage. And as we said previously, the Chaldover said tashmisho. Where one side can use it more easily, the other side uses it with more difficulty, the rule is, you give it to the side, they can use it more easily. Now, our Mishnah seems to support what Shmuel just said. Our Mishnah, where you had the courtyard people that made their own Erev Chatzeros, and the Marpesis people made their own Erev Chatzeros, but they didn't make an Erev together, so who gets to use certain areas? So we said, we said, if it's more than 10 tefachim, easy usage is to Marpesis, you give it to Marpesis. If it's pachos mikan, if it's smaller than 10 tefachim, the easy usage is to the chatzer, you give it to the chatzer. Now, kasolka daitach, aren't we suggesting my Marpesis, when we say that it belongs to the Marpesis, what it means to the Marpesis? doesn't mean the people living there, the Bnei Aliyah, we turn to the Yom Aleph, Pidal and Yom Aleph, as Rashi says, the Gvi Marpeses Tuva, they're even higher up than the Marpeses. The Marpeses is like the floor, and they have to come down onto this floor from their second floor level. As Rashi says, that the Marpeses people living above the Marpeses, Aval Derech Marpeses U Olim V'Yordin, and they have to go up and down through a ladder of some sort. You can see this in the Art Scroll diagram next to footnote number 2. In the Perish Chai on page 171 in diagram number 33, where you can clearly see that the people on the second floor, they have to walk down some ladder or some steps to get to the platform, to get to the patio, to get to the porch area. And then for them to use an area that is more than 10 tefachim above the ground, they're going down. So they have bishulshul. And therefore, the people on the top have a bishulshul, and the people on the bottom have a bizrika. And therefore, Rashi points out, Tel shebuchatz shugav yod have no much min aliyah yod. The havel is ebe shoshol. The low bezrika, the low bezrika, and the bottom has a bezrika. And it says uktani the bnei aliyah lemutarimbo. And it says that the people on the top get it. So, isn't this a situation where the people on the top have bishoshol, the people on the bottom have bezrika, and you see that the top people get it? Kasha on Rav Araya to Shmuel. And the word says, and why is it then called the Marpeses? Ve'amai, the Bach adds the words, Ve'amai, Karlo Marpeses. They call Salki the Marpeses, because they go down from their second floor, the Bnei Aliyah, they go down onto the Marpeses. What do you see? Alma, call Lizeh B'shoshul, the people on the top, they have it B'shoshul. And the people on the bottom, Lizeh B'zrika, no, this is a riot to Shmuel and a Kashan Rav. So where it says Lav Davka, Kidom Rav Huna, Rav would answer the way Rav Huna said, La Osan Hador Mid Marpeses. It's not talking about the Bnei Aliyah. It's talking about people that actually live on the Marpeses level. For them, it's less than 10 tefachim from where they are, and therefore it is not considered like Shoshul, it's considered like a Pesach, and therefore they're not lowering it down, and therefore they have a higher priority than the people that are throwing it, because it's a Pesach versus Zrika. But if it were to be a case of a shilshul versus zrika, so then Rav would say, then it's a toss-up, and neither one has the preference versus the other. Gemara says that's not so clear. Keep on reading. Our Mishnah said, if the mound on the ground, this chuyus habor, is less than 10 tefachim from the ground, so then we give it to the ground. But am I? In this situation, if you're telling me it's within 10 tefachim of the top people, and it's within 10 tefachim of the bottom people, so it should be a Pesach Lezeh, Pesach Lezeh. So then each of them should have equal rights to it. Why does the Mishnah say, in this situation, you give it to the Chotzer and not to the people on the Marpeses, if you're talking about people living on the Marpeses? So Gemara says, no. My Lechotzer, it means Af Lechotzer. So Rav would interpret this as saying, not that you're giving it to the Chotzer, it means that the Chotzer also, if it's less than 10 tefachim, now has Pesach rights to it, and if they have Pesach rights to it, so they both have Pesach rights to it. The people living on the Marpeses level itself, not the Bnei Aliyah, they have within 10 tefachim where they are, and the Chatzar, it's within 10 tefachim where they are, so each side negates the other, and therefore, that is the correct way to understand this, and the Gemara will tell us in Yitzhak Shem tomorrow, Hochanami Mistada, that this is the right way to learn this because of the proof that the Gemara is going to give. But this is a good break point. We'll stop over here. That concludes today's shiur.